This is a replay of our Sunday, February 5th church service. We hope you enjoy the worship music by Ellen and the worship team and the message by Pastor David Ripley. God bless you.
Good morning. Nice to see all your faces. I just wanted to tell you a little story about, I was watching a clip from Samaritan's Purse, and it was of a village in the Ukraine that had been bombed severely, and their water supply had been destroyed. And so all they had was potted, like the sewer water. They didn't have proper running water. And I think that they had also some salinized water, because they were saying that when they would wash, their skin would get really itchy, and their plants were dying, you know, when they would water them, because there was so much saline in it. And so then they called Samaritan's Purse, and that ministry came in. It was actually a pastor from that church, from that village, who called Samaritan's Purse and said, "Will you come and dig a well for us?" And so they came, and they dug a well right beside the church. And the Lord used that as a ministry to bring fresh water to that village, but also to bring people to the real living water, and because they hadn't known it before, you know. And so I just wanted to read this scripture to you. It's from Isaiah 12, verse 2, and you're welcome to turn there if you want. It says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And I think it's just such a beautiful thing how the Lord uses something that we cannot do without, water, and compares it to salvation, which is something we cannot do without. And that he has given us this abundance in a place where sometimes it seems like there isn't any. And just like the Israelites, when they were in the desert, there was no running water. They didn't have water. They were going to die. And the Lord brought water from the rock. And this is our hope, even today, right here where we are, when a lot of things are being offered to us as water, but they actually, you know, harm us, that we can go straight to Jesus, the well of salvation, and with joy draw that water from him. And so as we worship him this morning, let's just drink deeply from the presence of God and enjoy him. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you. You are our light. You are our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Lord, we want to draw from your well of salvation and enjoy you, Lord, drinking deeply, Lord, not just little bits and then going away parched, Lord, but instead coming to you, the true source. Lord, come and water our hearts, water our souls, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Lord, I pray even as your word is going forth today that it would accomplish everything that you send it out to do, Lord. I pray that would happen here in this congregation and wherever these airwaves touch people's ears, Lord. May your well of salvation just refresh your people, Lord. May we draw with joy out of your well of salvation, O God. We just want to thank you so much for being our source, Lord. Without you, we could do nothing. Without you, we are really destined for death. And so we just want to thank you that you are our true source. And we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, our Redeemer lives, doesn't he? So let's stand and we'll just praise him this morning. Put your hands together and give him all the glory this morning. My shame is taken away. My pain. praise this morning and thank him. Thank you. It's a good, faithful God. Thank you, Jesus.
You walk with me through. Jesus, you're all I need. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold the
musicians. Let the children make their way to children's church. No children's church, sorry. I wasn't even listening to my own wife. Let him who has ears to hear his own wife. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy. It's not up here on the screen, but Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. And I want to share for a few moments on walking in freedom. How many know that God wants us to be free in every area of our lives? That was really low. How many believe that God wants us to be free in every area of our lives? Amen. And in this verse, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, now I know that this verse refers to the dominance that God intended for the people of Israel to have on the nations around them. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13, the first part of that verse, it says, "The Lord will make you the head and not the tail." And that really refers to God's desire for the people of Israel that they would not be those that would borrow, but they would be those who would lend. But I believe there's an application here for us here this morning at Grace Christian Fellowship. That oftentimes it's the devil that's in charge instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is, as it were, having his way in our lives. And that is not the will of God for the believer. Can somebody shout amen this morning? It's not the devil controlling our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that should be leading and guiding and directing us in all things with the freedom that God has given us. Father, I just pray this morning that someone in this house would be set free today, liberated, loosed. I pray this morning that a shackle will come off of someone this morning. A chain will be broken. Lord, we have not gathered here religiously just to go through the motions. We have gathered in your presence expecting something from you, O God. We are expecting this morning through faith, Lord, that someone is going to have their minds freed, that oppression is going to lift off of them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God, His will for you is that you are not continually oppressed by the enemy. Satan having his way in your life. No, it's God's way that should be delivered to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, now, I want to stop there for a moment and let that sink in. We have to continue, we have to persevere in what we know to be true. We may not see the manifestation right away, but faith says, I believe. Irrespective of what I feel, irrespective of what I see, I believe. We go too often by our emotions. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. We go too often by what we feel and what we see as opposed to what we know to be the truth. Well, I'll wait for God to do it, then I'll believe. No, you believe, and then God will do it. You believe, and God will do it. God is waiting for you to release your faith. It's safe, you know. It's kind of a safety thing that we engage in. Well, I'll just wait for God to do it, and then I will extend my great faith. No, God says, take the little faith that you do have and believe, and then you will see what God can do. Hallelujah. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I said the truth will make you free. I said the truth will make you free. I said the truth will liberate you and loose you and break the shackles. Do you want to be free? Well, that's just Joe. Let me use another name. That's just Frank. Oh, no, let me use another name. We accept so many things that are not the will of God for us. We let the devil push us around and bully us when we have the authority over Satan in the name of Jesus. You know, the devil likes to bully people. Intimidate them. Arouse doubt within their hearts. But you will know the truth, and the truth will make you completely free. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For he rescued," the New King James says, "delivered us," past tense, "from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Isn't that what the Bible says? We don't have to live under the guise of the devil any longer. We are not children of the devil. We are children of Almighty God. Oh, I have so much to share this morning. I don't know if I'm able to do it. I really need the Holy Spirit to help me this morning, because I want to see your spiritual life elevated. I want to see you grow in Christ like you've never grown before. I want to see you make strides in your spiritual walk with the Lord that you've never made before. I want you to understand the fullness of all that God has so graciously given to you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll not be able to contain all that God has for you. You'll be bursting at the seams, taking authority over Satan and every one of his schemes and devices. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Jesus didn't die on that cross so that you could remain bound, oppressed, chased, continually afflicted by Satan himself, walking in fear. That is not the will of God for the believer. It was for freedom that Christ set us free." You know, now, I don't watch Spider-Man I have watched a few Spider-Man movies. You know, where this young man is transferred. You know, he puts on his costume. And he begins to roam around the city, just doing his psh, psh, psh. Superhuman strength. We call them superheroes. But you know, there's a superhero within each and every one of us, and his name is the Holy Spirit of God. We are living beneath all that God has afforded for us. Go get back in line. Okay. You'll never achieve anything as a believer. Okay, okay. And of course, the false humility that permeates the church today. Well, you know, I can't do much. I'm not much. Now, I recognize this morning that without God directing our lives and leading and guiding us, we cannot accomplish anything. But if His Spirit is working and moving in and through us, hallelujah, all things are possible. Oh, hallelujah. All things are possible. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Paul says to the Galatians, therefore keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. I want to read this verse from the New Living Translation. For Christ has truly set us free. Hallelujah. I like the way this translation says it. For Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. A set of rules and regulations. Thinking that somehow I'll obtain freedom if I do this, 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 this. Don't eat that. Don't go there. Don't go over here. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit work in and through us and guiding us and directing us and liberating us and loosing us. Did you know that the Bible says all things have been given to us that we can live this life victoriously? Everything has already been given to the believer that we can live this life victoriously, totally and completely free in the name of Jesus. Make sure you stay free. You see, I want you to get mad at the devil. Thank you. It's okay to be mad at the devil. Are you hearing me? The apostles were angry with Satan for all that he was doing in the church. We need to get angry and rise up and say, enough is enough. I'm going to walk in the freedom that Christ has brought for me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this message. Don't you get tired sometimes of letting Satan just have his way? Isn't there a point where you say, you know what, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, impressing upon my heart that it's time for me to rise up in prayer and in seeking of God's face and allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through my life. Hallelujah. So Christ has truly set us free. We don't need to be bound anymore. Through the power of the blood of Jesus, we have the victory. I said, through the power of the blood of Jesus, we have the victory. I want to thank God today for all that He accomplished at Calvary's cross. He didn't just die for our salvation. He died for our sanctification, that we would become all that God has intended us to be through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to go to my main text this morning, Romans chapter 6. Now the Lord has sent me on a quest, a mission, and that is to encourage you. Every time you enter into this house, I want to encourage you to make a move with God. To decide in your heart that you're going to go higher, you're going to go deeper than you've ever gone before. I want you to be so miserable sitting there in your passivity that you will make a decision, you've had enough. That you're going to shake off the heavy bands. You're going to lift up the holy hands and you're going to praise Him and you're going to magnify Him and you're going to glorify His name. Amen. And it's all based on what Jesus has already done for us. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Verse 2. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Past tense. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? It's like being thrown into a pool of all that Jesus has done for us. All that He has accomplished for us. He's taken you and He's thrown you. He has baptized you into that pool of all that Jesus has accomplished for you at Calvary's cross, that you would live a life of victory. You say, well, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? Do I got to walk up steps on glass? Do I have to carry an old wooden cross around Creston? And you just have to believe and have faith in what He's already done. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that so we might walk in a mediocre life. No, it says that we might walk in newness of life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a new nature on the inside of you. There's a new nature on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, one of the most important verses in the entirety of the New Testament, and may I add, probably the entirety of God's word. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, coming into a revelation of this, that our old self was crucified with him. The old you, before you came to Christ, that old self is dead. Do you believe it? You say, well, I don't know. I woke up this morning and I was really grumpy. But what do you believe? I believe that the old David Ripley is dead. Hallelujah. I was nailed to the cross with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. You see, we've turned this thing into a religion. It's not meant to be. It's a relationship. It's having faith. And you know, the best place to put your faith is in what Christ has already done for you. Hallelujah. What he's already accomplished for you. Yes, we put our faith in God's word. But my faith is in the blood. My faith is in the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. I want to declare it this morning. It is a finished work. Hallelujah. There's nothing to add to it. There's nothing to subtract from it. It is finished. Jesus said on the cross before he died, it is finished. I remember when I was pastoring in Toronto, I met some people from a certain faith. I won't mention which faith it is, but when I start talking, you'll probably figure it out. They said on the Sabbath they cannot turn on the lights. They were getting frustrated. We were buying some carpet from them to carpet the church. And they were, once they knew I was a pastor, they started complaining. They said, you know what, we can't even turn on the lights, the light switch, on the Sabbath. We can't even, I hate to say this morning, but they couldn't even move the roll of toilet paper on the Sabbath. And they said it was getting frustrating. I think I would be frustrated too. We can add so many human laws, human ways of thinking that are not in line with God's word. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with. That compulsion, that drive to sin, that push to sin has been totally and completely been defeated by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been totally and completely broken over every believer. You know, there was a time in my life where I thought if I sinned, I just needed to pray more or read more chapters of the Bible. And you know what that did? It actually made the situation worse. Because if reading the Bible and praying by itself could deliver you, then Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. Are you hearing me? If prayer by itself and Bible reading by itself, and of course you know I believe in both, would set me free, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Why did I have to be crucified with him? Prayer is to draw us closer to the Lord. Prayer is a means of spiritual warfare. Prayer is a means of lifting our petitions to God. Bible reading cleans up our minds and creates faith within us to go farther and deeper with the Lord. But we cannot ask God for something he's already accomplished. Oh, I have a prayer request this morning. Could you help me find a house? No, I have one. Could you help me find a vehicle that could get Jessica around Creston? Could you pray with me this morning for that? No, I've already got one. Could you help me find a wife? That is so beautiful. Oh, I've already got one. Come on, I've already got one. If I asked you those prayer requests, you'd think, you know what, there's something wrong with Pastor David. And yet we go to God asking for things that he has already accomplished for us. He's already done it. He's already provided the means of freedom through faith in the cross, in the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me this morning. I'm coming to an end here. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we, look at it this morning, would no longer be slaves to sin. That's God's desire for you. And he's already done it. For he who has died is freed from sin. You know, we all sin sometimes. We're human. We get involved in things that we shouldn't. But what's the solution? Is the solution, you know, somehow making us pay for that? Yes, we mourn for our sin. Yes, there are times where we grieve over what we've done. But you can't pay for your sin. There's no method or means by which you by yourself can pay for your sins. That's already been accomplished. That's already been completed. You say, well, what does God want me to do? He wants me to repent. He wants me to renounce. He wants me to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we need to make things right with other people. There's restitution that we need to do sometimes. But you can't pay for your sin. There's nothing you can do to pay for your sin. Amen. That's already been completed at Calvary. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? Yes. Some people in some phase, they nail themselves to a cross. Or they say so many Our Fathers or Hail Marys. To kind of make up for what they've done. But you can't make up for what you've done in that sense. You can only receive forgiveness that has been accomplished for you on that cross. And you know what the human nature is? It's so hard for us to just accept it. We had rules and regulations and you this and that. That's not found in the Bible at all. We just add all these things because we want you to feel totally miserable and make up for what you've done. Just to accept Christ's forgiveness, well, you know, it can't be that easy. And you know, I think about the Apostle Paul. Before he was converted, he saw believers put to death. He laid his cloak as they were stoning Stephen, giving permission for what they were doing. I wonder what kind of guilt he was under because he persecuted the church. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And yet somewhere, somehow, he received the forgiveness of God. And he was transformed by the power of Almighty God. If God can do it for the Apostle Paul, he can do it for us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. If God could pull him out of a pit, he can pull you out too. He can dust you off and he can put his spirit within you and transform you and send you on your way in victory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's time to rise up and claim the power of the cross. Now, I'm going to try to close one more time. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. We have, you know, the pity balloons, and we set up, you know, the cake that says, I'm so sorry. And we invite everybody over, and they cry with us, what a state I'm in. I understand that we experience grief and mourning. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's a time to get rid of those balloons. It's time to say there's no more pity parties here, folks. He has redeemed me. He has redeemed me by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has put his spirit within me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He has delivered me from the power and the grip of sin. And I stand today transformed by the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm praying. You say, why do we come here every Sunday anyway? Why do we do this? Why don't we just stay home and sleep in? And I'm not giving you any ideas now. You know, there's a spiritual thing that happens when God's people come together. That's why Satan doesn't like it. That's why he put up those mandates not very many months ago. Do you remember when we couldn't come together? Because there's something dynamic and spiritual that happens when God's people come together. Hallelujah. There's something that happens in the Spirit. Now, I know some people can't make it because of physical situations and circumstances, or they're sick or whatever. But you know what? I've told people, I've said, you know what? If you're bound, just come and sit here and let the presence of God liberate you. Let the presence of God set you free. Let the preached word and the taught word liberate you in your spirit and in your mind. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Trying to figure out how to close. Lord, I just thank you today. I know that sometimes we fail you. We say the wrong thing, we do the wrong thing. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you know that your heart is not right with God, that's what you need to do today. Say, Lord, forgive me. There's no shame in asking for forgiveness in the presence of a holy God. Say, Lord, just forgive me. Cleanse me. Purify me. Help me to put my faith in the finished work of Christ. In the blood that was shed. Help me, Lord. Give me the determination to keep on continuing in the Word, not letting go of what I know to be the truth. In Jesus' name. Oh, God. We need you like we've never needed you before. We recognize how much we need you today to flow through us. Raise us up, oh God. Put a new fire in our hearts. Let it burn, Lord, brightly. Oh, God, help us not to go back, but to go forward in faith. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each and every believer here this morning, and even those that are listening by radio right now, that you would strengthen them, oh, Lord. That you would pour into them of the oil and the wine of the Holy Spirit. That your work would go forward in this place, in this house, and in this community, and in this valley, and even beyond. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the truth that has set us completely free in the name of Jesus. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message. Have a wonderful day and God bless.